So today's daf is Kuf Chaf Aleph. We're actually going to start. I'm not exactly sure where Yehuda left off yesterday, but we're going to pick up on Kuf Chaf Aleph itself, three lines down from the top by the two dots. So I apologize if I did he around there. Okay. So let's good Baruch Hashem. All right. So our shir this morning is dedicated by Jeremy and Chaya Diamond in memory of Jeremy's father Avraham Tzvi ben Pesach Hillel. We hope they're in the merit of our Talmud Torahs and Shamo have an Aliyah, and also in memory of Freda Bas Reb Moshe Yosef. We hope they're in the merit of our Talmud Torah and the Shamo have an Aliyah. So the Gemara says the following. Rabbi Yehuda says, lo kol. So remember again, going back to the Mishnah, so the Mishnah made a general statement. The Mishnah made a general statement that im idin alav ala ad gimel yomim, that if a person was missing, imra'u b'sokim yomim misaso midin alav, not missing, excuse me, if they were able to identify a body within 3 days after the person died, then you could give edus on him, but otherwise you cannot give edus, you cannot give testimony. So the Gemara, so Rabbi Yehuda came along and said, you know what, not every circumstance is the same. In other words, that 3 days might be true in certain situations, but in other circumstances, even if the body is only retrieved longer after death occurred, you still may be able to identify. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava l'kula palig o l'chumra palig. Is Rabbi Yehuda arguing in order to be more lenient, or is he arguing in order to be more machmir? So Tashma, the Gemara tells a story, Kuf Chaf Aleph 121, 5 lines down, that Hugavra de Tava Bekarmi. There was once a man who drowned in the city of Karmi. Karmi was the place. Va'askuhu abeheja lebasar tlasa yomin. And they went ahead and they brought his body back up on the shore of abeheja after 3 days. The insaba Ravdimi Minaharda Lidvisu. And Ravdimi Minaharda allowed his wife to get remarried based on the identification of the body. Visu, and there's another story. Hahu Gavra Da'atba Bidiglos. There was another man who drowned in Diglos, Vaasku Agishra Dishivisna, and they retrieved his body by the bridge of Shivisna. Va'ansiba Rava Lidvisu Apuma Dishoshvini Lebasra Chamisha Yomi. And what happened? And Rava allowed this man's wife to get remarried based on the testimony of people who identified the body after 5 days, meaning that they only found the body 5 days, which is longer, of course, than the 3 days mentioned in the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, "E amrit pishlama l'kula palig." So if you want to say that Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava is arguing on the Tanakhama in the Mishnah, and he's trying to be more makil, he's trying to be more lenient, then inhu da'avit k'Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava. Then when they allowed the identification of the body after 5 days, that makes sense, because they were paskening like Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava. On the other hand, Eli'i Amrit L'chumnor Palig, Inhu Da'avit Kiman. But if you say that Rabbi Yehuda is trying to be more machmir, meaning, remember, Rabbi Yehuda's statement in the Mishnah was a very ambiguous statement. All Rabbi Yehuda said was, Lo kol ha'adam, ve'lo kol ha'makom, ve'lo kol ha'sha'os shavit. Not every person, not every situation, and not all times are the same. So is he coming to expand the 3-day window or minimize the 3-day window? See, if you say that he's coming to expand the 3-day window, that's why Rav allowed the identification of the body even after 5 days. But if you say that he's being machmir, then ultimately again, David Kiman, to which the Gemara says, Shiny Maya Titsamsi. To which the Gemara says, no, this case of this individual who drowned in Diglas, this was cold water, and cold water causes the body to contract. Meaning, Rabbi say, what's the concern after a person has died, dead for a while? The issue is one of bloating. So the concern is that as bloating occurs, again, facial features or other physical features become distorted, and therefore you can't have a true positive physical ID. So the Gemara says, however, again, the water in the Diglas was very cold, and therefore, again, it caused the body to contract. Therefore, even after 5 days, essentially, it kept the body cold. So because it kept the body cold, so the bloating didn't occur. Therefore, even after 5 days, they could identify the body. But yet we learned in yesterday's daf that water actually agitates a wound. That is true when a person has a wound. So remember, in this case, there's no wound. Because in this case, if remember, a person's not dying of a wound, the person drowned. So in this case over here, there's no wound. And therefore, the cold water has the ability to cause the body to contract. But this is only true if the body was identified immediately upon being brought out of the water. But if the body was on the shore for a while, right, then ultimately bloating will occur once it's out of the water for a prolonged period of time, and therefore identification of the body will not be effective. Okay, so therefore we'll say what it turns out, just for our sugya over here, is Lamaisa Rabbi Huda is being mekel. Rabbi Huda is being more lenient on the Tana Kama, and Rabbi Huda is saying, look, sometimes you can't necessarily apply a blanket three day rule, but rather you have to look at the circumstances as to whether or not positive idea of the body would be possible. Says the Mishnah. We'll say now we get into a very interesting sugya. We'll see more of this in Ksuvas. Nafal Lemayim. So let's say a man fell into a body of water. Bein sheyesh lahemsof, bein la'in shem, bein she'in lahemsof. So we'll say, whether it's water that has an end, and we'll discuss what this means, or water that does not have an end, ishto asura, his wife is asur. Now we'll say, when we say ishto asura, so look at Rashi. Rashi says, ishto asura, shema la'achar prishaso misham, yatzava halachlo, because maybe, the concern is, maybe even though I didn't see the husband emerge from the water, we didn't see the husband emerge, maybe he did. Maybe he emerged from the water at some faraway place, and therefore, again, his wife is Aser. Rabbi Meir said, one second, Ma'aseh be'echad shenafal abar agadol. There was once a story of a man who fell into a large pit, a large bar, or that pit, well, va'ala la'achar shloshi yamim, and he came out after 3 days. After 3 days, There was another story of a suma, a blind man, who went to go ahead and immerse himself in a ma'ara, in a cave. Now the cave had like an underground, an underwater spring. What happened? The yarad moshcho acharav, and he had like a guide, and the guide followed him in. Vishahu kidei shetetze nafsham. And both men were seemingly under the water long enough that they should have died. Ve'esiu es nishosehem. And therefore, as a result, so we'll say essentially, based on circumstantial evidence. Now remember, the ma'ara, the cave, is a ma'im sheish lahem sof, is water with defined boundaries, meaning that there's no way you missed these guys coming out, because there's one way in, there's one way out. So therefore, if they went in and they did not come out, the assumption is what? That they died. So therefore, again, because of this essentially circumstantial evidence, they allowed the women to remarry. Vishuv ma'aseh, another story, ba'asya in Asya, ba'echad sheshal suhu liyam, with someone who they lowered into the water, v'lo also biadam, and they never retrieved the person, ela raglo. Rather, all they retrieved was a foot. Amru chacham, well, it depends. So now, what does that mean? Does that mean that he's dead? Or does that mean that, again, now he's just missing a limb? So this is actually very interesting. Amru chachamim, min ha'arkuva ulamala tinase. If you found the foot, if foot means you found the foot with the leg, and the it was cut above the knee, then you could assume the person bled out as a result of such an injury, and they're dead. However, again, min arkuva ulamata, but if all you found was the leg below the knee, a person could survive such an injury, and therefore, again, lo tinase, his wife, may not go ahead and remarry. All right, so we'll say, let's analyze this a little bit now. Says the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanan, Nafal Lemaim. Okay. Just let me... Fine. Tanu Rabbanan, Nafal Lemaim Sheish Lahem Sof. If a man falls into a body of water, and the water again has a sof, it has an end, which Rabbo say, for our purpose, well... Actually, I'm not going to define it yet because the Gemara is going to define it. Let's just call it right now water with an end. So it's nafal lemayim bein sheyesh lahemsof bein she'ein lahemsof. Whether the water has an end or it does not have an end, Ishto asura. The wife is permitted, is prohibited to remarry. Divi Rabbi Meir. So we'll say Rabbi Meir's shita is, that no matter what, just if a man falls into a body of water, that's not enough proof to indicate that he's dead. Whether it's water with an end, water without an end, and again, we'll define these terms in just a moment. But lemais, again, the wife can't remarry. The chum say no. Mayim shiyesh lahem sof ishto muteres. If the water has an end, then the woman is permitted to remarry. Vishain lahem sof, but if the water does not have an end, ishto asura, his wife is not permitted to remarry. So heichi domi mayim shiyesh lahem sof. So I will say, what does this mean? Water that has an end. Amar Abaye, kol sha'omed varoa me'arba ruchosav. Oh, Bosi, you know what Mayim Sheish Lam Sof means? That you could stand on one bank of the water and you could see all four sides, all four land sides or all four banks of the water is on the Bosi. Now we begin to understand the Shita Chum. So the Chum say like this: if a man goes into the water and it's Mayim Sheish Lam Sof, I can see all four banks from where I am standing, then what? If I don't see him emerge on one of those banks, then what? The assumption is he didn't come out, which means he's dead, which means that then his wife could remarry. If it's Mayim She'in Lahem Sof, which means, again, I can't see all four sides, all four banks from where I'm standing, then what is a concern? That just because I don't see him doesn't mean he didn't emerge. He could have emerged at some faraway place that is out of my line of sight. Therefore, in a case of Mayim She'in Lahem Sof, therefore what? Therefore, again, his wife ultimately, again, is Asura. She is not permitted to get remarried.
He was in the ocean, 9 miles.
His wife remarried.
No.
All right, good. Okay. Good. She got the life insurance. And she was on the honeymoon when he reached shore. 100%. And we'll say, just so you should know, we'll get to Bamasugi, but we should know, we pass in like this, we pass like the Chachamim in this case, in terms of this distinction between Mayim Sheyesh Lahem Sof and Mayim Shein Lahem Sof. So Amar Abaye says, so the Gemara tells a story. Ahu Gavra, the Tava Ba'agma de Samki. There was a man who drowned, and Rosa, when we say drowned, so drowned means he went into the water. He went into the water, we did not see him come up. He drowned Ba'agma de Samki in the marsh of Samki. Samki was Rashi says, Agam Shal Osa Makom. It was a swamp in this particular place that Rabbi said. Now, just to understand, the Gemara is working with the assumption that this Agam, this marsh, was a Mayim She'in Lahem Sof. It did not have an end. Meaning, when we say not have an end, it doesn't mean it's endless body water. It just means it was so large that you would not be able to see the four banks from where you were standing. See, drowned in this marsh. Ansiba Rav Shila Ludvisu. Rav Shila went ahead and allowed his wife to remarry. Okay. So Rav Shila obviously went against the psak of the Chachamim, because the Chachamim said, in a case of Mayim She'in Lahem Sof, Lemaise again, the Ishto Asur, the wife is prohibited, and you may not allow her to get remarried. Amarli Rav Shmuel, so Rav said to Shmuel, Ta Nishamte, let's go ahead and excommunicate Rav Shila, because Rav Shila is publicly going against the Psak of the Chachamim. So we'll say you can't do that. Remember, again, the Chachamim are the majority opinion, therefore the Halacha follows them. Therefore, again, Rav Shila doesn't have the right to simply go ahead and go against them. So let's excommunicate Rav Shila. So listen to this, so we'll say it's amazing. Amarle, so Shmuel said to Rav, calm down. Nishlach le Beresha. Before we excommunicate anyone, why don't we find out exactly why he did what he did? So the Gemara says, Shachol, he says, send to Rav Shila. Rav Shila, let me ask you a question. Mayim She'in Lahem Sof. If you have a situation of water without an end, can't see the four banks, Ishto Asura O Muteres. So question number one is, if you have Mayim She'in Lahem Sof, and a man falls in there, is his wife permitted or prohibited? So Shalach Lahu, Rav Shila responded, Ishto Asura? Of course, the wife is prohibited in such a case. Okay, thank you, Rav Shila. Second question. The Agma de Samki, Mayim Sheyesh Lahem Sof, or Mayim She'in Lahem Sof? And tell us, the Samki swamp, is the Samki swamp considered to be water with an end or water without an end? So, Shalach Lahu, Mayim She'in Lahem Sof. So Rav Shila said, oh, the marsh of Samki is Mayim She'in Lahem Sof. Okay, so what's I say now? Rav Shila said, I agree with the Chachamim essentially, that's what? Number one, that if a man falls into Mayim She'in Lahem Sof, you don't allow the wife to remarry. That's number one. Number two, that the Samki marsh is considered to be like Mayim She'in Lahem Sof. So he said to Rav Shila, Umar, Shmuel says Rav Shila, Umar, my time of it, hachi. So tell me, Rav Shila, so why did you paskin in the case of the husband that fell into the Samki swamp, which is Mayim She'ein Lahem Sof? Why did you allow his wife to remarry? To which Rav Shila responded, Rabbi say something amazing, Mita Ta'ina Ana. I made a mistake. It was a wrong psak. I made a mistake. Savri, because Rashi said, now why did I make a mistake? I was mistaken about the nature, thank you, about the nature of the Samki swamp. Savri, Kevan de Kavu Vakaimi, Kimayim Shiyesh Lahem Sof Dami. I figured that since it was a body of standing water, that it was considered to be like Mayim Shiyesh Lahem Sof, like water with defined boundaries that are visible from one point. Velohi, and it's not true. Kevan de Ika Gully, there is a current in, literally, gully means waves, but it could also just mean there's a current. There's a current ultimately in the Samki swamp. Amar Gully Ashpalu. It's possible that the waves were able to carry the man to a different place. So we'll say, this is really quite amazing. So it turns out, first of all, it's just an interesting idea in general about if you feel that someone's done something wrong or someone's done something to upset you. You know, very often our first reaction is to attack. But the problem is, of course, if you attack, what ends up occurring? What happens when anyone gets attacked? They become defensive. If instead of an attack, a person inquires, you know, I don't really understand, which it did looks a little bit strange to me. I'm not exactly, can you explain to me? Instead of an attack, instead of a verbal assault, can you explain to me? Suddenly, again, you're able to get to the bottom of things without the individual feeling that they're on the defensive. It's an amazing thing. So, you know, Rav is ready to excommunicate. Shmuel says, calm down. Right before we excommunicate, let's just find out what was going on. And sure enough, Rav Shila just ended up making a mistake. That's what it was. So, Kari Shmuel Alei de Rav. So, Shmuel said about Rav, Lo Yuna Letzadik Kol Oven. Literally quoted the pasuk from Mishlei that the tzaddik will not fall prey. The tzaddik will not be afflicted by any sin. Rashi says, "Lo yuuna letzaddik kol oven shalaba satakala zulia dosha Rav lindos es Rav Shila." So Shmuel said to Rav, "You know, you're clearly a big tzaddik because you almost committed a serious avera of excommunicating someone who didn't deserve it, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved you from committing that avera." Kari Rav Alei de Shmuel. Rabbi, so listen to this. And Rav said about Shmuel, Uteshua Berov Yoit. Rabbi, say a very, very, very important pasuk from Mishlei as well. Uteshua, salvation comes through a lot of counsel. In other words, Rabbi, say, make sure to always surround yourself with people who give you good advice, or at least one person who gives you good advice, because salvation in life very often comes in the form of good advice from another. So Rav said to Shmuel, Baruch Hashem, you were here because you really saved me from committing a very big mistake. Tanya, Rebbe said, Maise b'shnei b'nei Adam, mechamrin machmurin b'yardin. So mostly there was an episode, and mostly here's what's amazing also. You know, if you think about it, like these episodes apparently happen more often than you would imagine. They probably still do happen more often. You know, these people disappearing in bodies of water. It's amazing. So the Gemara says the following. There was a story of two people, Mechamrin Mechmurin. They were fishermen, but they were, what do you call it? Not like with a hook, but net fishermen. I don't know if that's the right term for it, but they fished with nets. Not fishermen. Good. So what happened? They're going ahead and they're putting down their nets in the Jordan River. And one of them entered into a fish burrow. So apparently this was like a cavity like in the water, below the water level where the fish congregated. And what happened? See, he went into this mechila, went into this burrow. Now Rashi points out over here, the mechila shel dogim shechotetim samoch l'sfas hanar. There was this hollowed out area by the bank of the water. Bein lamata min amayim, bein lamala min amayim. Begova sfaso, ve'ein mismamelas kula, ve'adam hanichnas shamak biat zavara besoch hamar lamala min amayim. So we'll say, so what happened? So when you go into this fish burrow, often you could get into it. You could get into like the cavity, with your head still out of water. So what happened? V'shaka chama, the sun set, v'lo ra'a pischa shamachila. So the sun set, and this individual was unable to get out of the fish burrow. Vishaha chaveiro kedei shetetzin hashon. Now, Abbas, obviously, when the sun set, also the water rises. So what happens? His friend is waiting for him by the exit of the fish cavity, and the friend never comes out. So essentially, he's there the entire night, and the water levels rise. And so essentially, the friend assumes that what happened? His friend who went into the fish burrow died. He drowned. So what happened? So the survivor friend, he goes back to the friend who was in the fish burrow's house, tells his wife, tells his family what happened, and what happens, and they assume he was dead. So what happened? But it turns out that the guy who was stuck in the fish burrow overnight must have found either some pocket of air or something. He survived. And the next morning when the sun came out, he was able to go ahead and see the exit, and he navigated his way out. Listen to this, Rabbi Osai. So he's walking home. Uba umatza hesped gadol besoch beso. And what happened? Mamish, everybody's back at the house after the Levaya eating bagels, right? And he sees a whole hesped, a whole Levaya happening at his house. So he said, Kama gidolim. Oh, excuse me, I'm a Rebbe. So when it was obviously, again, you know, Rabbi Osai, I mean, hope they got their money back. Let's talk about important things over here. So the idea over here comes back. So at that point, Rebbe said, "I'm a Rebbe. Kama gedolim divrei chachamim. See how great the words of the chachamim are. Sha'amru mayim sheyesh lahem sof ishto muteres she'ein lahem sof ishto asura." So Rebbe said, "See how great the words of the chachamim are, because the chachamim said water." Water that has an end. Or one's wife, see, Mayim Sheish Lahemsof Ishto Muteres, and Sheein Lahemsof Ishto Asura. So we'll say, reinforcing that which we said before, that ultimately water, where you could see all the banks from where you are standing, if your husband does not come out on one of those banks, we assume the husband died, but Mayim Sheein Lahemsof, ultimately again, Ishto Asura. And I will say, now Rebbe seems to feel that this particular case of the Mechila Shildogim was a case of Mayim Sheein Lahemsof, and therefore they should have waited a little bit more before declaring the husband dead. Ihachi, if that's the case, nami, I don't understand, but even in a case of water that has defined boundaries, even if the husband doesn't come out, we should be choshesh that maybe he found himself in a fish burrow, because you could see, apparently in a fish burrow you could find pockets of air and even survive for longer periods of time, to which the Gemara says, no, in a case of fish burrows are not normally found in defined bodies of water. They're usually only found in larger bodies of water, she'in lahem sof. Okay. Amar Avashi, hadu amar Rabbanan, mayim she'in lahem sof, ishto asura. So Avashi said, that's which the rabbi said, that water that does not have defined boundaries. The ishto asura says, so again, just to define this, we're all on the same page. Mayim she'in lahem sof means a body of water so large that you cannot see all four sides, all four banks, from where you are standing. So the concern over there in a case of Mayim She'in Lahem Sof is that although you did not see the husband come out of the water, it's possible he did, it's just out of your line of sight. So that's which we said, Mayim She'in Lahem Sof Ishto Asura, Hani Mili Be'in Ishto Alma. That's only true with a regular person. But I both say, it's not meaning if a Talmud Chacham gets lost at sea, and it's Mayim She'in Lahem Sof, we allow his wife to remarry. Why? Because if he really came up on land, if he really came back, Kala Isle, because he's a Talmud Chacham, Meretz Rabbanan must be a recognized Talmud Chacham, there would be a rumor about it, meaning people would talk about it. So if people aren't talking about it, it means he never came out of the water. Velohi, and the Gemara says, not true. Lo shna inish ta'ama, velo shna tzara mirabanan, di eved in lechat chilano. But I will say, no, rather halacha lemaisa, we do not make a distinction between a Talmud Chacham or a regular person. When it comes to mayim she'in lahem sof, water, where you cannot see all four banks from where you are standing, we do not assume that automatically assume that the husband drowned, because it's possible he came up somewhere out of sight. That no difference in a Talmud Chacham, a regular person, except the Gemara has an interesting caveat here, that Lamaisa, we say, lechatchila, his wife may not remarry. But b'di'eved, if she did remarry, we do not make her leave the second husband. Quite interesting. No, in all cases. So Gemara says the following. The Gemara says, Tanya, Amar Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi said, this is a beautiful, beautiful Gemara. So Amar Rabbi Gamliel, Pam achas ha'isi mehalich b'sfina. So Rabbi Gamliel said, one time I was traveling on a boat, v'ra'isi sfina achas shenishbara, and I found another boat. Excuse me, I saw another boat that was smashed apart by the waves. And I was especially saddened because there was a great Talmud Chacham on that boat, whom I assumed died in the turbulent waves. Who was the great Torah scholar who was on that boat? Umanu, Rabbi Akiva. It was Rabbi Akiva. Ukisha alisi biyabasha. And now Rabbi Gamliel says, when I came to the shore, ba v'yashav v'don lefanei b'halocha. Who shows up in the Beis Medrash? None other than Rabbi Akiva. And what happened? Amarti lo bni mi elocha. I said to my son, how did you survive? I saw your boat smashed by the waves. How did you get here? So Amrali, he said to me, daf shel svina nizdameli. Literally a daf, but what it means, like a board of the boat, went ahead and broke off, and I held on to it. V'chol gal v'gal sheba alai na'anisi lorosho. And every wave that came my way, literally I tucked my head in and allowed the wave to pass over me. So that's how he survived. So the Gemara will say, very important, Musar Mikan, Amru Chachamim. From here the Chachamim said, Im Yavo'u Rishaim al Adam, if wicked people come to go ahead and come upon a person, Yana'aneo lo rosho. Sometimes in life you have to tuck in your head. Rashi says, Yana'aneo lo rosho, Yitchem ipne asha, v'lo yitzkar ben. Rabbi says, it's an incredible, incredible Musar. You know, there are times in life that you have to fight, and times in life where you draw your line, and times in life where you raise your fists, and there are other times where you just simply duck your head and wait for the wave to pass. Incredible, incredible Musar. So the Gemara goes weiter. The Gemara says, fine. Amarti ba'osa shah. Rabbi Gamliel said, I said in that moment, kama gidolim divrei chachamim. See how great the words of chachamim are. Shamru mayim sheish lahem sof muteres, mayim she'in lahem sof asura. So we'll say, the Gemara is bringing this story as a proof to this concept that when it comes to mayim she'in lahem sof, water, where you can't see the boundaries on all levels, or on all sides, that Lamai said that is an explicit raya, an explicit proof. Story like this, that the Chacham knew what they were talking about, that there's always a concern that the person who was lost really came up on shore. Tanya, Rabbi Akiva, what's another story? Rabbi Akiva says, Pamachas ha'isi mahalich b'sina. One time I was traveling by boat, and what happened? V'ra'isi sina achas shemitarefes bayam. And I saw a boat that was being tossed around in the sea. V'ha'isi was actually capsizing in the sea. V'ha'isi mitztair al Talmud Chacham sheba. And I was sad about the particular Talmud Chacham on the boat, who I assumed was going to die. Umanu, who was it? Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir was on the boat. The boat capsized. Rabbi Meir was going to be lost. Ukesha alisi lemedinas Kaputkia. But yet when I came to the shores of Kaputkia, ba v'yashav v'don lafanai b'halacha. Who was there? None other than Rabbi Meir, and he was in the Beis Medrash. Amarti lo bini, I said to him, my son, tell me, mi ha'alacha, how did you survive? How did you get here? Jose, what does Rabbi Meir say? Amarli gal tardani l'chavero, v'chavero l'chavero, at shehikiyani liyabasha. One wave took me to another wave, another wave took me to another wave, until I was miraculously brought to the shore. Rabbi Kiva says, Amarti ba'os ha'shah, kama gidolim divrei chachamim. See how great the words of the sages are. Sha'amru mayim sheish lahem sof, ishtam uteris, because they said in the case of mayim sheish lahem sof, water where you could see all the boundaries. If the husband goes in but does not come out, you could assume he died, his wife could remarry. But mayim she'in lahem sof, when it comes to water without boundaries, ishto asur, the wife is prohibited, because again, it's possible that he came up somewhere out of your line of sight. Tanur Rabbanan. Well, another interesting case. Nafal, I mean, it's interesting for us because it's not happening to us. Nafal govarayos, right? A person fell into a den of lions. So here's the interesting shayla. So let's say, again, Reuven falls into a den of lions, and, you know, I see it, and then I walk away. So essentially, I want to go and tell his wife that what? Your husband's dead. I mean, he fell into a den of lions. So the shayla, of course, is, can you assume that because someone fell into a den of lions, that they're dead? So the Gemara says that they died, or that they were killed. So nafal gavarayos, the person falls into a den of lions, and they both say, you know, of course we know that this sounds crazy to us, but you know, historically, again, certainly circumstances like this happened where Jews, unfortunately, we know it happened. This was one of a favorite form of execution by the Emperor Hadrian. We know that it's documented historically. So a person is thrown into a den of lions, Eden alav. you cannot testify, you cannot automatically assume that he's dead, unless, of course, you saw him killed by the lions. However, lechafura malei nechashim, but if you saw him thrown into a snake pit, a pit filled with snakes, and nechashim v'akravim, snakes and scorpions, in that case, in the Eden Alav, then you could, even if you don't see him die, you could absolutely testify that he's dead. There's no way he survived that. Rabbi Huda ben Meser says, af lechafura malei nechashim v'akravim, ein midlav. Rabbi said, now just so you understand, the logic behind this is, we're going to see this actually, the logic behind this is that the reason why a person could survive in a den of lions is because it could be that what? The lions aren't hungry. Right, that ultimately the lions will only attack if indeed they're hungry. So maybe, I don't know, they had a big shalash of this, whatever it was. So they're not hungry. So because they're not hungry, it's possible that he would survive. As opposed to, again, in the case of the snakes and scorpions, their bite or their sting ultimately is done even in the absence of any type of need to feed. And therefore, the mice, you have to assume that he died. Rabbi Yehuda ben Meisira says, no, even into a pit filled with snakes and scorpions, you still can't give automatic edus that he's dead. It's possible that he's alive. Why? Chashinan is actually very interesting. Shema Chavarhu. I will say, maybe Rashi says, Chavarhu Yodea Lilcho. She's like a little bit of like a sorcerer or a snake charmer. Maybe he's the kind of person who knows how to go ahead and to, keep the snakes and scorpions at bay. Okay, for Tanakama says, no matter how good of a charmer you are, Agav Itzitza Maskeve, because the assumption is the person is being thrown into this snake pit with snakes and scorpions. So literally, Itzitza just means Shadochgan, Rashi says, Shadochgan Kishomelein, because of the pressure, meaning once you go ahead and you hit against the snakes, you hit against the scorpions, that by definition is going to cause him to react and bite. So therefore, again, no matter how good of a charmer a person may be, Lemaisa, we assume that he died. Rashi over here points out, Avagov Arayos Rachavu, Ve'in Omidalein, Upamim She'in. So it is possible to survive in the den of lions if indeed the lions were not hungry. If a person fell into a fiery furnace, Me'idin alav, you could assume that such a person died. Right? So also meaning, even if you don't find the remains or anything, we assume that a person died. Liyore meleya yain v'shemen. If a person fell into a vat filled with burning oil burning wine or oil, so me'idin alav, we assume that they died. You could testify that they died, and it allowed the wife to go ahead and remarry. Mishum Rabbi Acha amru shel shemen me'idin alav. If he fell into a vat of oil, you can testify that he's dead. Mipnei shumavir, because oil itself is something that burns. Rashi says, "Kishumavir, kishenafa adam l'socho v'nitas Hashem al alaar maviro yoser v'yoser v'lo shav sarusicha sayora v'tzamku raglo v'lo yochlo teis meisar." Remember, the assumption over here is, person falls into a vat of oil, assuming the vat is full, so when the person falls in, the vat overflows. When the vat overflows, that oil which burns itself will cause the fire to just burn more intensely, which will intensify the heat. The vat does not cool down, therefore we assume the person died. However, shalyayin ein me'idin alav, but if a person fell into a vat, even a boiling wine, we don't automatically assume that he died, because when the wine overflows out of the vat, the wine will extinguish the fire. Amrulo, so they said to him, no, tchilasa mechabe, v'sof ma'arubos. It's interesting, sometimes you see this, if you try to extinguish a fire a little bit, right, so sometimes an initial dousing of water will actually cause the flames to come back with even, sometimes even, assuming you don't fully extinguish it, with even a stronger intensity. So the Gemara said to, who was this, to Rabbi Acha, you're wrong, because even if the wine spills over and extinguishes the fire a little bit, the fire will come back with even a greater intensity, therefore you could assume that he died in such a circumstance as well. Rabbi Meir quoted this case. Rabbi Meir quoted this case of this individual who fell into the Bar HaGadol. He fell into this large pit, a water pit. And what happened? And he came out after 3 days. So Rabbi Meir is bringing this as a raya that a person could even survive after a long period of time. So Tanya Amul Rabbi Meir, Ein Maskirin Maisinisim. Rabbi Meir, that situation, that's miraculous. That a guy came out of the well of water 3 days, that's absolutely miraculous. You can't bring a raya from miraculous cases. The Gemara says, well, I don't understand. Why is it miraculous? My Maisinisim. Ile Mudala Ochavolo Ishti. If you want to say it's miraculous that he didn't eat or drink for 3 days, so that's not miraculous. V'hok Siv, but the Pasuk says, in Megillah Esther, Vitsomu alai va'al tochlu v'al tishtu. Remember, what does Esther Amalka say before she's getting ready to go to Ahasuerus? So what does she do? She says, fast for me, don't eat and don't drink for 3 days. So you see from here, that's what? That lamaisa, again, a person could survive without eating or drinking for 3 days. Ella delonai, and this is interesting, I'll say, the issue over here is not that he didn't eat or drink for 3 days, but rather that the person did not sleep for 3 days. Rabbi Yochanan says, Shavua shlo ishan shloshi yamim. If a person made a shavua that he's not going to sleep for 3 days, so we'll say that is an impossible shua, that's an impossible oath to uphold. So what do we do? Malkino. So we give him lashes. Right, we give him lashes because he made a false oath. The Yashin La'altar, and he goes to sleep immediately. Now, Rabbi say, go to sleep immediately doesn't literally mean that he has to go to sleep immediately. What it means is that Lamaisa, he's absolved from the Shavua. Rabbi Meir, so Rabbi says, therefore you see, so what's the nace? They say to Rabbi Meir, you can't bring a ride from this case because the fact that this guy survived in order for 3 days is miraculous. Well, what's miraculous? If you want to say that he didn't eat for 3 days, person could go without food for 3 days. Maybe you want to say, it's because he can't sleep for 3 days. Rabbi Meir, so how does Rabbi Meir answer this? So at my time, Am Rav Kana, keepin al gabe keepin havu. Rabbi Meir will say that in the well itself, in the pit, so the pit was, remember, in order to have a pit, you have to solidify the walls, that there were a series of archways on the wall. So therefore, the assumption is a person was able to kind of like pull himself onto one of the archways and sleep on one of the archways. The Rabbanan said, no, that can't be why. Deshisha havu. Because it wasn't. Normally, these type of archways and wells were made of marble. So because they're marble, it's slippery. Because it's slippery, again, therefore, there's no way a person will be able to keep his body on it. Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says, "Efshar to lo masrich v'nayim porta." Rabbi Meir says, "Listen, even if he can't go ahead and get his body on it to sleep for hours and hours, he could support himself on it for a little bit just to be able to doze. So therefore, he didn't go 3 days without sleep. He got a little bit of sleep." Ten Rabbanan. Shabbos Sigmar tells another story. Ma'aseh bebito shel nechun yachol for shichin. Sichan, excuse me. There was once an episode of the daughter of Nechunya, the digger of wells, Shenafla Labar Hagadol, who fell into a big well. So we'll say, this is actually interesting. If you look at Rashi, Rashi says over here, Chofer Sichan, the Ole Regalim. So we'll say, this individual, Nechunya, why was he called the well digger? Because this is very beautiful. He took it upon himself to always dig wells for the people who are being Ole Regal, for the people who had to come to Yerushalayim. Umayim is kansim bohen vayu shosin heinu behemtim. So we'll say, this the guy Nechunya, he made sure to dig a whole system of wells for the pilgrims, for the people who were going to come up to Yerushalayim, because again, it was a long journey, and therefore again, Lemaisa, they had to make sure that they had water for themselves and for their animals, and this was Nechunya. So one time, Nechunya's daughter fell into a large bowl. Ba'u u'ba'u v'hodiyu l'Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. And they came and they told Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. So what happened? Sha'ar Rishona Amar Lahem Shalom. So in the first hour that she was missing, Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa said, don't worry, she's fine. She's fine. Shalom. She's okay. Rashi says, Sha'adayin yuchol l'achyos. She's only missing 1 hour, she's okay. Shnia Amar Lahem Shalom. Second hour, he said, don't worry, she's fine. Shlishis, when it came to the third hour, Amr Lahem, also, he said to them, don't worry, she's been taken out of the pit. Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa said, don't worry, she's been taken out of the pit. So Amr Lahem, so sure enough, she was taken out of the pit. So they said to her, Biti, Miha Alacha, this is a wild story. So she said to him, they said to her, my daughter, who took you out of the pit? Armalo, she said to him, Zachar shal rechelim nizdameli. Suddenly, again, I saw a male sheep, Vizakin manhigo, and there was an old man who was leading it, and he took me out of the well. Look what Rashi says over here, Zachar shal rechelim. What is it about the male sheep? Ze'elo shal Yitzchak. This refers again to the isle, to the ram of Yitzchak. And who was the Zakin echad manhigo? Ze'Avraham. So apparently, Avraham Avinu, we don't have time for it today, but there's a beautiful Ma'aral that discusses exactly what the symbolism is over here. We'll save it for a different time. In any event, she was miraculously saved through divine intervention. So we'll say, they saw Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. So here is Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. Remember, Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, first hour says she's fine, second hour says she's fine, third hour says, don't worry, she's been saved. So he came out to Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. Amru lo, Naviata. Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, are you a prophet? Are you a Navi that you knew exactly what was happening? Amru lohem, he said to them, lo Navi Anochi, velo ben Navi Anochi. I'm not a prophet, and I'm not the son of a prophet. Rather, they're supposed to listen to this. Ella, dover shat tzadik misasik bo, yikasha bo zaro. But he said, it's unfathomable to me that something that Nechunya were so careful with to provide for others that this tzaddik was involved in, it's impossible to think that this would be the source of detriment to his family. In other words, that Nechunya himself was so careful to always dig the wells for everyone else, it was unfathomable to me to think that Lamaise, his daughter, would perish by drowning in a well. So Amar Rabbi Abba, Afa Pikein, Meispinu B'tzarabosa, there is a tragic end to the story that the son of Nechunya Chofer Sichin died of thirst. Meisa B'tzama, Rashi says, excuse me, the Gemara says, Shneemar Usavivav Nishara Me'od. Literally, he's quoting over here the Pasuk from Tehillim, Usavivav Nisara Me'od. And literally all around him, right, so the waters surrounding him are turbulent. Melamed Shehakadosh Baruch Hu Medaktek Im Savivav Kichut HaSara. It teaches us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu deals with the righteousness in an exceedingly strict fashion. Rabbi Chanina Amar Me'ach, Rabbi Chanina says from here, Kel Naras Besod Kedoshim Rabba V'Nora Akol Savivav. Literally, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kel, is dreaded in the secretness, in the secret of those who are holy, and his awesomeness is felt on all those around him. So both say, the Gemara doesn't tell us, but apparently, Nechunya must have done something. What the something is not clear from this Gemara, but although his daughter was saved this time, he did have a son that ultimately died of thirst. Rashi points out over here, because again, the idea is hour number one, hour number two, she could have survived. By the time hour number three comes along, it was highly unlikely that she would survive by natural means, and therefore again, he was sure that Lamaisa, she was saved by then. Says the Mishnah, Afilu shama min anoshim omros meis ish ploni dayo. So we'll say, now going back a little bit to the laws of Eidos, even if you heard from the women, so let's say you heard women talking, and the women said that so-and-so ploni ish meis, this man died, so that's enough. Meaning, I will say, even just hearing people, Rashi says, "Afilu shama min anashim shelo hayu miskavnos lahaid umasichos lefi tuman." So the women were just talking; they didn't have in mind to purposely give testimony, but they were just talking amongst themselves. But you heard them discussing that a particular man died. That's enough of a testimony to allow the wife of this man to remarry. Rabbi Huda says, "Afilu shama min atinokos omrim hare anu holkin lisbod velikbar es ish ploni." Even if a person heard the children saying, "We are going to eulogize and to bury this particular person, ish ploni, bein shu miskavin, bein sheino miskavin," whether they have intention to give testimony, don't have intention to give testimony, you can rely on what they are saying to allow the wife to marry. So we'll say it's actually very dramatic if you think about it. So even if the kid's saying, "Oh, we're going to Reuven's funeral," and you hear them saying this is enough to go ahead and allow the wife to remarry. Huda ben Bava, Omer Huda ben Bava says, "Bisrael, when it comes to a Jew giving the test, when it comes to a Jew, af apishu miskavin." Even if the Jew is giving over the information with the intention to give testimony, we believe him regarding the death of a man. When it comes to a Gentile, if his intention was to give testimony, then his testimony is not valid. So the Gemara says, let's analyze this. Says the Gemara, "Vidimalo Ozli." I will say, remember again, speaking specifically about the case of the children. So Behuda said, even if you hear the children saying, "We're going to go to the Levaya to eulogize and to bury Reuven," so therefore again, you could assume that Lamaisa Reuven's dead, and you could allow his wife to remarry based on that. So Mar says, "Well, how do you know? Just because they said they're going, maybe they didn't go. Right? Maybe it never happened. Maybe they were mistaken." To which the Gemara says, "No. Amar Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, deka amri harenu ba'in milispod velik baras ish ploni." No, where they're saying we are coming back from the Levaya of Reuven. Come out to the Levaya of Reuven. The Dilma kamtsa ba'alma shachivle. But maybe one second, this is interesting. Maybe Reuven didn't die. Maybe a grasshopper died. The asiku le al shmei. And they call the grasshopper Reuven. As we'll say, that sometimes Rashi points out that children put on a little mock levaya, right? They put on a mock funeral for their pet that died. So what happens? They decided to name the pet Reuven, right? And they're saying, "Oh, we came back from the levaya of Reuven. It was a very, very difficult loss," right? But they're referring to their goldfish. So how do you know that? How can you say that it refers to an individual? To which the Gemara says, "Dika Amri, v'chein Rabbanan havu hasam, v'chein sabdani havu hasam." Because they say, "Oh, and this Rav was there, and this Rav was at Levaya, and this Satan." So we'll say the assumption is No matter how committed the rabbi may be, he's not coming to the Levaya for the goldfish, right? And therefore, again, Lemaisa, it must have, based on this, that they're identifying the people of note who are actually present there, that's good enough raya that the individual actually died and we allow the wife to remarry. Now, I will say, understand, the fact that we're so lenient in the criteria of allowing the wife to remarry goes back to what we established already before. Chazal relaxed the standards on the level of edus necessary to allow women to remarry, simply because they shift the responsibility to corroborate this information to the woman herself. So when the Mishnah said that if the Ovid Chacham, if the non-Jew had intention to give testimony, he is not believed. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Lo Shanu Ela Shenes Kavin Lahatir. That's what does that mean? If the Ovid Chacham, if the non-Jew had in mind that he wanted to permit this woman to remarry, that's why he's coming to Beis Din. He wants to permit the woman to remarry. Then we don't believe him. Aval Niskavin Lahoid. But if the Kavanah was simply to testify, then eduso edus. Then indeed, his testimony is a testimony. Moses, meaning, if he's coming to permit her to remarry, that's when we don't believe him. But if he's coming just to simply give us information, then we do believe him. So Gemara says, hey, Chiyodina, well, how do you know why he's coming? How do you know if he's coming to give testimony, he's coming to permit the woman? To which the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yosef, Bal Lebezin, Va'amar Ish Ploni Meis, Yisiyo Es Ishto, if the Aveikoch Kavim shows up and he says, Reuven died, let his wife get remarried, Zeun is Kavim Lahatir. That is clearly a case of someone who's coming to allow for the woman to remarry, in which case we will not accept his testimony. We're both say, if he's showing up with a particular agenda, we don't accept his testimony. If he's coming to give us information, that's fine. However, Meis Stam, if he shows up and just tells us, listen, Reuven's dead, then Zeun is Kavim Laidos. Then his intention clearly is for testimony, and we can believe him. Itmar Nami Amrei Shlakish, Sotrei Shlakish said, Lo Shonu Elishin is Kavim Lahatir. We only reject the testimony of Ovid Kochavim if he's coming with the intention to permit her to remarry. But if he's just coming to give testimony, eduso edus, then his testimony is a valid testimony. But was there not an episode like this in Ushia? The Hagos Vitzigunim changes this. Is there's an episode of Ushia Berebi Shehisris im Shmona v'chamishas that came. Rebbe literally battled with 85 elders, meaning he had a machlokis with 85 elders. Amar Lahem Loshan Elashin Eskavin Lahatir. When do we reject the testimony of a Gentile? Only if his intention is to permit her to remarry. Avan Niskavin Lahaid. But if his intention is just to give information, then Eduso Edus, then his testimony is in fact a good testimony. But yet the rabbis did not agree with him. Ella mas nisin diktani uba ovid kacham. So we'll say, apparently, the chacham seemed to say that what? That even in a case where he's just coming to give testimony, we still can't accept his testimony. But if that's the case, ella mas nisin diktani uba ovid kacham. Em hayim miskavin ein edusa edus heichim mishkachasla. So we'll say, if that's the case, when the Mishnah says that by an ovid kacham, the only time his edus is rejected is if his kavanah is to give edus, but his kavanah is not to give edus. So what's a case of where his kavanah is not to give edus? B'masiach lefitimo. Well, so masiach lefitimo means what? He just volunteers information with absolutely no purpose. He's talking. He's talking to his friend, and he says, oh, by the way, did you hear Nebuch? It's terrible what happened to Reuven. Right? It's terrible that Reuven died. So we'll say, his intention is not to give testimony. His intention is not to change realities. He's just talking, and information just happens to come out. That is where the Gemara is suggesting, according to the Chachamim, we could believe the Ovid Kochavim. Ki ha-hu da-hava ka-amar va-azil. So again, like there was someone, the Gemara tells gives an example, like this individual, this Gentile, who was walking around and saying, Man ika be chivoy, man ika be chivoy. Is there anyone from the family of chivoy who's around? Shachiv chivoy. Chivoy zed. Now, both say, understand, we have this concept in other areas of halacha, where let's say again, for although a non-Jew may not be believed for testimony, if a non-Jew says something, what we call masiach lefi tumo, he converses just of his own desire, without any intent to give testimony, so very often words like that do have halachic credence, because the assumption is, because he's just giving it freely, not with the intention of giving testimony, that it's true. So that's the Gemara suggesting over here, just like this individual is saying, who is there somebody from the Chivai family, someone from the Chivai family? Chivai is dead. And Rav Yosef allowed the wife of Chivai to get remarried based on this testimony. So the Gemara says, Hahu Davaka Amar Va'azil, just like it was another case of a non-Jew who was walking around and saying, Vai Leila Parsha Zriza Dahu to Pumbadisa. Woe to the mighty warrior of Pumbadisa. Also, Rashi points out there was this mighty warrior, Gibar Chayal V'Yisrahaya. There was this well-known Jewish warrior in Pumbadisa. The Gemara doesn't tell us his name, but this non-Jew is saying, he was just known as the mighty warrior of Pumbadisa. The mighty warrior Pumbadisa has fallen. So they were saying about this Jew who died, the Shachiv, he died, va'ansaba Rav Yosef, and Rav Yosef allowed his wife to remarry. V'tema Rava, others say, no, it was Rava Lidvisu. I will say, again, these are all examples of Eidos Lefi Tuman, testimony that's being given, again, without an intention to give specific testimony, but ultimately, again, just sharing information. So the Gemara goes weiter. Hahu dahava ka'amar va'azal man ika bechasya. Is there anyone here from the house of Chasya? Tava Chasa. Chasa died. Amar Rav Nachman ha'elokim. Achlu kavri l'chasa. So Achas said, whoa, by God, have the fish eaten Chasa? Meaning he was lamenting about that Chasa died. So midibur Rav Nachman, azla devisu dechasa ve'insaba. Based on the words of Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman apparently accepted the testimony of this Gentile. So again, the wife of Chasa went and remarried. And the rabbis did not object to the fact that she got remarried. Rav Ashi said, Shmamino, Had Amar Rabbanan Mayim She'in Lahem Sof Ishta Asura. When we say again, in this case, of water that does not have an end, the wife cannot get remarried. We'll say, we've established before, we already established Hanimi L'chatila. That is only true L'chatila. Meaning, we'll say, if it's Mayim She'in Lahem Sof, and therefore it's Mayim She'in Lahem Sof, there's a chashash, that even if he gets lost to see that what happened, maybe he emerged on a different side. So that is only L'chatila. Aval Inasib, but if she indeed got remarried, Lo mafkinon lo mine. We will not remove her from her second husband. Ika da amri, others explain, ansabar of Nach and Abbasai, the Gemara is throwing that out over here, because remember, this woman's husband got lost. This woman's husband in Maim She'im Lemsof, yet she got remarried, but yet the rabbis did not do anything. So you see from here that the prohibition on Maim She'im Lemsof is only the Chatrila, but not Bidiyevet. Fine. Others explain that Rav Nachman actually actively allowed the wife to remarry. Amar Chasa Gavarabi, you say, because Rav Nachman said like this: this guy Chasa, who was lost at sea, was a great man. Im Isa de Sulik, if indeed he had come up on the banks of the shore somewhere else, even out of eyesight, is le kala isle la milsa. People would have been speaking about it because he's a great man. Therefore, it would have had a call. And the fact that there's no call indicates to us what? That he did not come up on another bank, and therefore, again, his wife is permitted to remarry. At which the Gemara says, Velohi, that is not true, we've already established. Lohi, Loshna Gavaraba, Loshna Lav Gavaraba, di Evet in, Lechat Chilolo. It makes no difference if the person who was lost is great, is not great, but rather, again, in the case of Mayim She'in Lahem Sof, we assume that, again, the person may have come up on the other side, out of sight. So both say, what comes out from this entire sugya, there's a lot that comes out, but for our purposes today, which is very important, is the halacha makes a distinction. If a man is lost at sea, between Mayim She'in Lahem Sof and Mayim She'yesh Lahem Sof. Mayim She'in Lahem Sof means that when you stand on one bank, you cannot see the other banks around. Mayim She'yesh Lahem Sof means you can see all the other banks. With Mayim She'yesh Lahem Sof, if a man goes in the water and you do not see him come out, the halacha says that what? You may assume that he did not come out, because otherwise you would have seen him. Therefore, you assume that he's dead, and therefore his wife can remarry. Mayim She'in Lahem Sof, water that where you cannot see all four banks from where you are standing, the concern is that even though you did not see him come out, it might have been what? It might have been that he came out on another side, you just didn't see him. And what comes out is, therefore, l'chatchila, his wife may not remarry. But, very important, but, if she did remarry, we would not make her leave the second husband. All right, so we'll stop over here. Meretz Hashem, pick up at the two dots tomorrow. Last daf of Yivam is tomorrow, Meretz Hashem.